This episode is brought to you by 100 Bogart Street, a co-working building in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Need a professional place to work from? Learn more by visiting 100bogart.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, where a member-supported podcast network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. This year, we're celebrating 10 years of food radio. For the past decade, we've been taking you behind the scenes of farms, restaurants, breweries, school cafeterias, and more. It's been 10 years, and we're just getting started. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte. I have a studio full of some really amazing people today, as per usual. We are, as far as like amazing people go, they obviously brought a bunch of booze for us to try out. Actually, we have in the studio today one of my oldest friends and kind of a legend in the industry. We have Thomas Waugh, who now works for Lauber Imports, right?
Hi.
Lauber Spirits, like as the boutique. Are you? Tell me about your title, because you're not bartending anymore. Like, so you were the head bartender at Death & Company for Major Food Group for many years. I think the highlight of your career was working with me at Prime Meats for like 6 months.
I mean, that was the highlight of my career, for sure. And I constantly tell people that was my very favorite job.
That's amazing. Thank you.
I made the best money. We smoked weed all night long.
Yeah, all night long. Yeah,
and man. I drank as many beers as I felt like and walked away with $500.
Yeah, it was
pretty great.
It was pretty great. And it was all cash, too. It was still when that was like...
Still the cash game.
It was still the cash game. Yep. Yeah.
But no, after 6 years of working with Major Food Group as the head, you know, bar director, beverage director, mm-hmm. buying spirits and doing all the cocktail menus for every one of the restaurants and bars, I am finally retired myself into a different job, which is being an artisanal spirits specialist at Lauber Imports. And I was hired in January. I'm still pretty new at it, but I'm just out there selling spirits and training sales reps on how to sell spirits and educating people more on like the smaller brands.
Yeah. So I have to ask you, first and foremost, like what I think our listeners would want to hear. Like, there's a lot of people who work in the bar industry who listen to the show, and like a lot of people who work in the like brand ambassador, like portfolio manager, like side. So like what, I mean, obviously like after working in the bar for a very long time and being such a very hardcore spirits nerd, to be honest, like you are, I mean, like you are.
Mm-hmm. Of course. That's how I got this job.
Yeah. So that's like the transition from like going into the bar every night and like and working with these spirits and like talking with all these people, like the transition must have been pretty easy, seemingly, because you're still in the industry but like you're on a different side of it. But I'm wondering like what the hurdles that you came across were like.
Okay, well, you're right and you're wrong. There is definitely an easier side of it, or I have an advantage, I'd say, like knowing people, being able to go into places and talk to people that I have already known in New York for the last 10 years, sure. And being able to at least have an in when it comes to being sort of somewhat of a salesperson. Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
I mean, it's a cultural change. You're kind of selling anyway, right?
It's a total cultural change. I am like, I'm up way earlier, which is I have not gotten used to yet.
I don't real think anyone tough. Could ever get used
to that. I fucking hate it. Like when the alarm goes off, I'm not ready to get out of bed.
Yeah.
And I'll stand in the shower and let the hot water hit me for a good 30 or 40 minutes before I have a complete thought. But Once I get going, I actually really like it. And I like, it's sort of the same interactions that that you would have as a bartender. You're just out there talking to people.
Just earlier.
It's just earlier. And the perk is that, and I hope my boss isn't listening to this, that I am at home in time to watch Game of Thrones on Sunday.
Oh, that's definitely a perk for sure. I mean, to me, like moving out of, because I'm not really bartending much anymore, but like moving into the more like brain focused, like career path, in like more like into ownership of like the bars and like doing all this stuff. It's like I find myself like constantly like I never feel like I'm doing my job. Like, well, you know, because I mean, like, I don't really, because
I've never had that feeling. Actually, I've always been excelling in like everything that I do. Yeah, I'm just really good at everything that I do.
I'm just saying, like, it's like you kind of like in when you're like repping brands and doing sales and stuff, like, you kind of feel like you're kind of your own boss, like, a lot of times, you know, like, obviously, you have people to report to, but like, there's a certain aspect of it where you're like, it's kind of like outlaw and you kind of like have to make up your own, you like write your own schedule, like for like account visits and all this stuff. So like it there's like kind of like a strange, like blurred line between like working for someone.
It's a good blurred line.
It's pretty good.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
But no, you do have to be on top of it because, I mean, one of the first things
you have to manage yourself, which is
exactly. And one of the first things that somebody very wise told me when I got the job was that, you know, there's going to be 4 or 5 days out of your week that are going to go really well and they're going to be great. But if you don't keep on top of your shit, then there's going to be a couple days that are going to like, they're going to fuck you real bad.
Yeah.
If you don't stay organized, it's all totally. Just about being organized. I've learned how to use my calendar on my phone and on my computer. That's like, if it's not in my calendar, then it's just not happening.
Right.
So, I mean, that's something that,
and it all seems
as a bartender, you don't have to have. You don't have to do that because someone else gives you a schedule, and that's your calendar for the week.
Right.
Now you have to make your own calendar, and you have to make things happen.
And it sounds so fundamental, but it's really difficult actually to like make it all happen.
It's difficult. You're gonna fuck up a couple times, you know, and you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say this, like, we ran into each other earlier today on the subway, and you had a bag full of mezcal that we totally illegally, like, popped open on the subway and started...
That was illegal?
I think it's fine. If you're in a moving vehicle, it's okay to have an open container, apparently.
Probably fine.
Yeah, as long as you're it's not sitting fine. In
we need
one
to throw
place.
A disclaimer on the show, by the way.
Ride the subway responsibly.
but the thing is, like, those are the times where I'm like, being a brand rep's pretty sweet, man. Just like popping bottles of mezcal on the fucking subway with your buddy.
Doesn't suck.
On the way to go do a radio show. It's like, all right. People around us are like staring and we're just like.
Ian knows what I'm talking about.
I do 100% know what you're talking about.
Also, yeah. So let's get into that. We also have a couple other buddies in the studio. We have Ian Kearney.
Hello.
Who's also from Labrador Spirits, Labrador Spirits Specialist. We have Eric Michaud, who's the founder and owner of Liquid Riot from Portland, Maine, and they make a Fernet Michaud.
Fernet Michaud.
So,
steal the show.
Let's get going, man. Let's talk about some stuff. Like, what the fuck do we have in front of us?
Yeah, let's talk about this.
I mean, we have a pizza that's, like, just killing me
right now.
But...
You want to do pizza or you want to do Michelle?
Pizza first and Fernet later, right? It's a digestive.
Yeah.
We can start with the Fernet as an aperitif.
We can do both.
Let's have a slice of pizza and talk about the brand. How about that?
Yeah, we can dunk our pizza crust in the Fernet.
Yep.
Well, we also have some rum in front of us, too. Mm. I mean, like, we've got a studio full of booze, so yeah, let's get going. So why don't you guys, first of all, like, you guys work together, two of you, and you're represented through Lover.
Yeah. Lauber just picked up the Fernet recently, and I came down to the city to work with these guys, visit some accounts, and you know, try to spread the word, spread the gospel of a new Fernet out on the market.
Mm. It's delicious.
So, I'm a huge fan of Fernet, and definitely have tried a bunch of the old school ones, along with some of the new school ones. What, like, what was your like foray into like making a Fernet? Like, where did this all like, where did it start? Like, what was the direction for it? Like, I do want to say that I love the bottle. It has a flip top, like the flip top cork, but it also has a like a bottle cap, like when you first get it. It's
fucking cool. Yeah, it's fun. I've been in the industry for a long time, bartending, mostly beer tending, working with craft beer, and you know, cut my teeth bartending and getting into it that way. And then I opened a beer bar about 11 years ago up in Portland, and was buying and selling beer. And then I wanted to just continue creating stuff, and I've been home brewing since before I should be. And
well, that's usually when we start, right?
Yeah. It means legally.
So, you know, my parents were really cool about me making beer in their kitchen when I was younger, and I just wanted to keep creating. So I opened my own little brew pub distillery up in Portland 6 years ago called Liquid Riot. And so just from my heydays of bartending, you know, getting into the Amaros and Fernet, and just like we all have, you know, you talk to any bartender who's worth their salt, and they're into this stuff. And I have access to make anything I want. I've got this amazing playground. And we make 12 different spirits up there. And I said, well, I'm going to make a Fernet, because why not? Well, I can. Yeah.
Maine's a beautiful place, too.
Maine's great. A good place and to be making Fernet. We're right on the waterfront, right on the ocean. We got the salt air there. I have access to a lot of ingredients. And, you know, small world, so you can get ingredients from anywhere in the world. But, you know, we're using as much organic product as we can. There's 22 botanicals in this. It's an organic wheat-based spirit. We barrel age it in ex-wine barrels, so I'm dealing with really cool cooperage, dealing with different producers and suppliers to find barrels and find the botanicals, and it's a really fun project. And nobody else was doing it, you know.
Yeah.
There were some people out on the West Coast doing some Fernet.
Yeah.
And
there were some people like in the Pacific Northwest and. Some like kind of like in the mid-Atlantic kind of area, like in the Carolinas, there were some people doing it, but like not so much
not in the Northeast, not New England. I think we're still the only Fernet producers in New England.
Or Arcane, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Arcane or Arcane?
Arcane, they're in the city area.
But it's an interesting category to jump into, you know? Like the, I think a lot of it has to do with obviously, like it, a lot of it comes from like, you know, the old bartender's handshake. You know, like you know, like
for sure.
Chicago, you're drinking a bunch of Malort. You know, and like, and everywhere else, you're drinking like Fernet. You know, and,
I love Malort. Let's just put that on the record.
I do too.
God, it's so good.
So good.
You know, there's like the interesting, like if you had started making a Fernet 15 years ago.
No one
probably
would have
wouldn't have worked
was.
Out, you know. Yeah. But like, it's a really great time to start.
Yeah,
it'd have
been like,
it.
What the fuck is this?
Also, like, honestly,
shit
like, tasting
could have taken off.
Tasting this, you know, like, it, I mean, it could have. No, but you know, like, there's why didn't it work?
But when did
off, you
know? When did like, Fernet Branco really hit the market, like big time? I mean, we know it's been
like
it's been around
ago?
Since 1845, but what when did it actually hit the American market in like a major way? I remember when I first had it. And I thought it was like the coolest thing of all time. And I must have been 20 years old in San Francisco.
I had it for the first time in Oklahoma City when I was like maybe 20 or 21.
Yeah.
And I was, my mind was blown. But like, it was also like, it takes an adventurous kind of like personality to be in it and stuff like this.
But
also,
you know, they also say that Campari is you either love it or you hate it sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. I think that the first time you taste Campari, it tastes like poison.
Probably.
Yeah. And then like the fifth or sixth time you drink it, you're like, I am addicted to this. I need to have it now.
Well, your body kind of tells you that you should probably have this because the medicinal, like, herbaceous qualities. Like, your body actually wants it. Your palate might not.
It's kind of like the first time you have anal, but then, like, by the fourth time, like, super into it.
You get used to it.
Sure, sure, sure.
I'm glad we're not live right now.
You guys really going
to... I mean...
These are the guys that are repping my product.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
No, not me. That was
Fernetney Show loves anal. Yep. Live.
Live. So, in living color.
See, the thing is, like, it does, it, like, takes, it's, like, not, like, it's kind of, it is an acquired taste, but at the same time, I've always thought this way about, like, any kind of bitters. Like, it's an acquired taste, but it's really, it's already built into your system as something that your body, like, already wants.
Well, it's built into our system, but if you look back on, you know, traditionally, like, bitter things, bitter barks and herbs, and they were, if you ate them as a prehistoric person,
poison.
Was your way that your body telling you there is an alert that would go off on your palate telling you that this is not something that you should be eating.
Right. It's like why kids, young children don't like broccoli or anything. I mean, or it has like an auto, like, yeah, it's like an auto response until your mind can understand that it's just a flavor. I mean, like, talk coffee. You know, a lot of young kids don't like coffee, but when you grow up, you understand, hey, this has a medicinal property, and coffee rules, and it is inherently bitter and delicious.
It's drugs.
We're also consuming so much sugar. You know, everything's got so much sugar in it.
Yeah, everyone in, like, North America, like, fucking consumes way too much sugar.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I'm a rum nerd.
It's a real
right
problem.
Right there with you.
If you distill America. It, that's great.
I mean, America.
But yeah, we're consuming so much sugar, you know, sugary soft drinks and sugar in all food products, unnecessary. Mm-hmm. So our bodies have gotten accustomed to consuming sugar and getting these easy calories, right? I think, you know, historically, before this crazy sugar boom, we were eating healthier. Humans were eating more natural products and had a different palate and probably were consuming things that were a little more bitter and actually better for us because it is better for us. Mm-hmm. But now we've gone down a really dark hole with our
Well, it's all cyclical and it all comes from, like, teetotaling prohibition era. Like, the subsidization of agriculture started based on the fact that there was all this bullshit that was going on during, like, prohibition. Mm-hmm. Jobs were lost. Industry is kind of crumbling, you know. Then they're like, all right, cool. Well, we'll pump all this attention over to agriculture. You start, like, fucking around with, like, high fructose corn syrup. And then, like, that starts going into everything. Yep. And then it just fucks everything up. So basically what I'm going to say is should have never told me not to have a drink. You know?
Well, on that note. Can I go back real quick
and
ask you a question? I'm asking Eric Michaud a question right now.
Certainly.
Which is...
Thomas Waugh is asking Eric Michaud a question.
Right, this is Thomas Waugh. I'm asking Eric Michaud a question on the radio.
Just making sure.
Do you personally, since you make this Fernet, and I'm sure you've tasted all of these herbs and spices and everything that goes into it, do you personally enjoy tasting each one individually?
Definitely not.
Exactly.
Definitely not.
So how does it make sense and what happens in a distillation process and, you know, the maceration process, what happens to make it suddenly all come into harmonization and taste good in a final product? It's got to be fucking sugar.
No, it's not.
I mean, I'm just assuming, but you tell me what your answer is.
Yeah, no, actually that's a good question. It's good, something to really think about. It's the process that we went through to create this recipe was distilling each individual botanical and macerating each botanical. And we went through dozens, I don't even know how many, 40 or 50 different botanicals. And some of them you try by themselves and they taste great. And you're like, okay, this is going to work somehow. Some of them that taste terrible. Just fucking awful.
Which so ones? Tell me.
I don't remember.
Like,
you know,
gentian.
Like, no, we've got
gentian.
We've got,
doesn't taste good on its own.
No, it tastes terrible on its own.
It's bitter as fuck.
It's bitter. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, some of them aren't too bad. Like a lot of these botanicals don't necessarily taste good by themselves, but they're not awful.
Right.
So the awful ones you just kind of kick to the side. The ones that aren't terrible, you get a feel. I mean, it's like mixing a drink. It's building a cocktail. You know, you taste something by itself, or it's creating a recipe. It's cooking. You know, this by itself tastes one way, but you know that if you pair it with something else, it's going to change it. And, you know, just being in the industry, you guys all understand that. And any good chef understands that. So if you think of it like that, like you're just building this recipe and you start with something, maybe you start with one of the botanicals that tastes a little better. And then you add something else to it and see what happens. Then you add a third one and you build it like that. And then at some point you start to get this base that's like, this is a really sweet base. And once you have this nice base with whatever is in it, you can then start adding more to it and it doesn't change it so much. It's just like subtle little splashes, this little pinch of salt here, a little pepper there.
You need to start adding structure,
yeah,
and complexity and things that are gonna bring it back, or maybe bring some more high tones or something.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. That's exactly what it is. Once you get this bass down, you start thinking, okay, if we add this, give it a little pop here, maybe right. make it a little more subtle there.
Works really well together. Now we need to add the je ne sais quoi.
Exactly. And actually, for me, out of these 22 botanicals, for me, the icing on the cake was burdock root. Mm-hmm. And it's come up a bunch. And,
let's taste it.
And people have tasted that.
I'm tasting the shit out of it right now.
Yeah, we had.
I thought we were going to wait for the talk.
You guys
already poured? What?
Yeah, Dad.
Oh, man. Jesus.
You're late, dude.
I was waiting, dude. Okay.
And talking about sugar sweetness, we actually use very, very little sugar in this because I don't like cloyingly sticky sweet things. And I think most people...
But it is a palate stimulator.
It is. And because of the bitterness in this, yeah, that's real, real true tasting.
Yeah, you get to taste more of all the ingredients based on like the sugar. Salt does the same thing.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were saying earlier about like some of these herbs and like you were saying, like gentian is like kind of like, it's not great on its own, but like it's like,
well, and a lot of Fernets are just way too harsh on the gentian, yeah, you know, and the wormwood. They're so bitter that you can barely fucking drink them. My own opinion.
Yeah,
clearly,
I'm sure there's a lot of nerds out there that like that flavor, but I mean, do not.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. What were you saying?
No, I was just gonna say that like there are certain ingredients that go in, like botanically, like that go into different spirits. Gin, Amaro, mm-hmm. Fernet, things like orris root, cacao nibs, mm-hmm. like Angelica, which does
for sure part
flavor, but like the
licorice,
the
gives you
might give you more but like it gives stimulation
you,
too. Like,
yeah, they build up the other, they bond and build up the other flavors. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's kind of like when you're recording, you always like, there's no such thing as silence. It's not a real thing,
right?
You know, so like whenever you're recording, like you're doing like a radio or TV spot, like you always like, there's always one track.
Let's try silence right now, real quick.
Okay,
it's not gonna happen.
Okay, no, come on.
Because here's what I'm gonna explain to you.
Because like, you can't stop talking.
No, that well, yeah, I'm sure. There's that for sure. But like, right, you always like record a silent room for room tone. There's certain ingredients that go into like. Like a lot of times, like when you're talking about like a Fernet or an Amaro or gin, you know, that has like a billion goddamn ingredients in it, it's like you're not going to taste every one of those. It's like the harmonization, as you said before, of all those ingredients together. A lot of them are going to go by the wayside, like from your palate, but it's important to have those in there. And that's where I like one of my favorite mm-hmm. ingredients is. It's orris root, and it does nothing for the flavor, but it does.
Yeah, you know it's stimulation.
I mean? It brings all the other flavors mm-hmm. around. On that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll return, and we'll make a cocktail or something. I don't know. But we'll be back in just a moment. Listen to the Speakeasy, and cheers for the break.
Cheers to the guys.
Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by 100 Bogart, a new building in Bushwick, Brooklyn that provides offices, co-working, event spaces, and a brand new podcast recording room. Have you been dreaming of starting your very own podcast in Brooklyn? You can now rent space in 100 Bogart's custom-built podcast room to record interviews, voiceover, and commentary. The room is fitted out with two microphones, mixing board, and a MacBook Pro running Pro Tools. You can rent the space by the hour, and a rental of an hour or more includes a 100 Bogart co-working pass. That means complimentary coffee, tea, and access to your own desk for the rest of the day. So what are you waiting for? Get started on your next audio project. 100 Bogart has the space and amenities you need to kickstart your podcast. Learn more at 100bogart.com or call their team at 718-362-3539.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Allison Kane, and I'm the host of In the Sauce here on HRN. Now that I'm expanding my cooking school to a sauce line in grocery stores, I need all the help I can get. And I want to help other entrepreneurs build their brands too. You can find In the Sauce wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
And we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network, and we've got a bunch of Fernet and some rum and some dudes in the studio, and let's talk about... Okay, so we talked about a little bit, we kind of touched on it in the first half of the show, about like some of the botanicals went into it. What was the... I feel like every like kind of bitter category, like spirit, like they always have like something in the... like. It's obviously, it's like we talked about like the sum of all the parts before in the first half, but like I feel like there's always like a lead
something
ingredient
that sticks out.
You know? Yeah. What's
major
what's your
bullet
lead
points
ingredient?
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was developing this and researching it, kind of looking at, you know, obviously tasting as much different style for Fernet as I get my hands on and, trying to figure out
research.
Full research and development. Yeah, that's great.
I did a lot of researching last night.
My kids love it when I'm researching all day. Daddy's drunk again.
He's working.
He's angry.
Wait, he's really happy now.
He's had a long day at work. Run.
I was trying to figure out if there is like a set definition for what is Fernet. And my research shows there's really nothing. There's no real parameters to say what Fernet is. So
that
was
going
to
be my question, is what makes Fernet Fernet?
Yeah, you know, most things have a definition. Rum has a clear definition. It has to be cane-based. Mm-hmm. Whiskey has a clear definition. It has to be grain-based. Fernet, as far as I've found, has no clear definition for it.
I've always thought of, like, Fernet and Amaro. I mean, obviously, they're in the same category.
Yeah.
But Fernet... and Amaro to me are different. At least for me personally,
I agree.
They Amaro is always like there's
they taste
always
different.
Well, sure, they all well. God
damn
it,
it's
Thomas,
all the same umbrella,
all,
right?
But like it's under the bitter category, mm-hmm. right? But like
that's why I've been taking Amaro this entire time.
Amaro is always like there's always like a citrus element to mm-hmm. it, where
heavier sugar, generally.
Heavier sugar. And then Fernet is more like just straight up herbs, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And bitter.
I mean, it's like a pretty simple way of bitter. Describing both of those.
I would agree with that.
Agreed.
Yeah. Fully. I mean, my understanding is that Amaro is the big umbrella, mm-hmm. and Fernet falls under that
sure
umbrella. So it is like it's kind of a side proponent. But I agree with everything you said. Mm-hmm. And when I was tasting different Fernet, that's kind of what I was finding. It's like okay, it's more herbaceous, bitterness, mint. For me, it was mint forward always. Mm-hmm. Mint forward and a really like rooty, kind of earthy bitterness. So going off those flavor profiles that I found that were pretty consistent in all the Fernets, I started building my recipe from there. Yeah. And you know, I went on the drier side. I don't like sticky, sweet, sugary products in general. And there are Fernets out there that have a really sticky, sugary base. And then on the other
spectrum, don't like me.
I mean, you're sweet. You're very sweet.
Yeah, but you're a little sticky as well.
God damn it. Give me that bottle.
Yeah, okay. Look, so, when I get off of this, big time, I'll just say, before you, I want you to reveal some of the botanicals.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what I taste first.
Please.
You want to do this together? You want to go in a little roundabout?
Go. And actually, you guys are pretty good. You guys will probably hit on a lot of them. And I know Damien... You had mentioned orris root before. Damon, sorry. And we do use orris root in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
And it is one of those components that it's not super strong, and it kind of disappears.
It's a binding agent.
But it does. Like, it smooths things out. It blends it together.
I'm getting a lot of different mints.
But it's just mint right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm getting spearmint heavy.
But not like in an intense way.
Mm-mm.
Yep. Spearmint, wintergreen, peppermint.
Mm.
Those are the three mints we use.
Oh. Wow.
Is that surprising this? It's got, like, because it kind of comes across as like a sarsaparilla, like birch beer,
like barky,
kind of
like very barky.
There's yeah. some.
I get a little bit of a cinnamony note.
There's licorice root and
that's what it is.
Cherry bark.
And that's like the
so
tip
I think
of
that gives it kind of that almost cola like quality.
No cinnamon.
I don't think there's cinnamon.
Oh,
dude, I'll be honest with you. Out of the 22 botanicals, I don't remember them all.
You
I've
know
got
what?
My recipe.
He's
I follow
fucking
it.
Lying. He's a fucking liar. He
You're
will not give
lying.
Us the goddamn recipe.
I have it tattooed right here on my ass.
You caught on to what we were trying to do.
It's proprietary.
You're trying to not like.
He won't tell
everyone,
us.
Yeah,
he won't fucking tell us. He's acting dumb.
He can't tell you everything.
It's actually just this packet I get. It's like a flavor packet.
Cinnamon's the secret ingredient.
He ordered it from the back pages of High Times magazine. Yeah, it's real absent. I bought it from the back pages of fucking High Times.
You guys
where else
know everything
buy it?
Except
where
for the cinnamon note.
I'm just getting like a strong cinnamon.
A Fernet bouillon cube, and I just drop it in some Tito's.
Honestly, though,
I'm getting a lot of orange as well, like some citrus. But
there's Persian lime, dried Persian lime in there for a little citrus note.
To me, it's like any kind of like citrus is coming from this is more like kind of like on the. Kind of like bergamot-y
for sure,
like side of everything.
Yep, there's bergamot. Just... There's bergamot in there.
Oh, there is. Yep. Okay, cool.
Chamomile,
chamomile.
We call it cami. We call
cami
it cami around here.
Little chams.
Cami down here in New York, we call it cami.
We just call it low key cami meal-y.
I gotta get hip to the hipster scene.
You'll get there. Whoa.
No, it's just yeah, it's cool. Not the hipster scene. It's just
whoa.
It's anything. It's any, anyone's name in New York ends with a. A Y
I-E.
or an IE.
I'm Thomas.
Shit.
But here I'm Tommy.
You're Tommy. Tommy Tightpants.
You're Damie.
Damie. Hey, let's go talk to Damie.
Hey, Damie. What's up, Damie? How you doing, buddy?
We got Maddie fucking running the show today.
We got Tommy and Creamy and Damie.
Yeah, it's Dr. Creamy.
We got
Eric. Dr. Ian Creamy.
Eric E over here.
Eriki.
What the fuck were we talking about, by the way?
What else were you talking about?
The botanicals on the way to this.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, let's go back.
Keep talking about how good it is, guys. I love to hear how good it is. Talking about cocktails with it, actually, it's really cool. It plays well with, I really like blending it with a rye or a bourbon. It does well in whiskey-based cocktails.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so like we were talking about like Amaro and Fernet before, and the... No, obviously, with its the origins coming from in Italy and a lot of like Europe too. Like that, there's a lot of different versions of like. I mean, like one of my favorites is Becherovka. Mm. You know, from
delicious.
The Czech Republic.
Ew. It's great.
Awesome.
I'm just joking.
You chill me. Out.
Okay, sorry.
No, seriously, chill that shit
okay,
and take
I'm
a
sorry,
shot.
I'm sorry.
But like the the thing is like. There's always this like conversation we have about like the difference of, I mean like when you make an Amaro or a Fernet, any kind of like herbaceous like botanical liqueur, you're basically creating your own cocktail in a bottle, right? Mm-hmm. So then like a lot of the times like you don't see in I mean obviously it's changed now, but like very recently, but like when you go to like say you go to Italy or France and like. You have an Amaro or you have like chartreuse or something like that. Like they're like, wait, what are you doing with my shit? You're like putting it in a cocktail with other things. It's like,
right.
I've been doing this for centuries and it's been like heavily like guarded as a secret, you know, like a recipe.
Those people are fucking stupid though.
Okay.
Do you want to like sell your shit or do you not?
Dude.
How about you put it in a cocktail?
Sure.
I get that.
Well, the times
it's like,
have changed.
It's like
maybe put
it's
it.
It's like
with
making
soda.
Your own
maybe
little
put
changes.
It with tonic. Maybe put it on the rocks. Maybe
right,
make
Mr.
a
Creator.
Fucking sour with it. I don't fucking care. If it was my product, honestly, I would be making cocktails left and right.
But you'd be let's thinking
fucking,
about KPIs.
Let's move.
Like, you know, he's like, thinking about KPIs for sure. Dude, that's a little bit of sales people jokes for
I,
you guys.
Yeah, for
out there. I'm actually, if this was my own brand, I would not give a fuck what
about what you anybody, do with how it after anybody you sell
did,
it.
What anybody did with it. Once you sell it to somebody, which is the whole fucking point of it, right?
What if you loved it so much and they split it with Red Bull?
Why did you put it on the market? You could have just kept it to yourself.
I know. Sometimes I feel like I should have.
I mean, honestly, okay. That's like
no, it's
this is a very important like thing to talk about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because as a distiller,
a modern distiller of a bitter spirit, this is something that you have to think about, right?
Sure.
Tradition, staying true to the tradition, correct? But also thinking about the modern like application for it.
But I think it's true to anything as an artist, if you will. When you create something, you create it to be what it is, right? So you want it to stand alone. And I think there's a lot of distillers, there's a lot of brewers, a lot of winemakers that are really proud of their product and say, this is what it is, and I want it to stand up by itself. It's like if you took the Mona Lisa and added your own detail to it. You don't do that, you know.
Painted
you, you don't buy famous pieces of art and then change them.
Right. I understand what you're saying there.
So
you could use a little longer
this
hair.
This isn't oil. This isn't oil paint.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can buy the Mona Lisa. Well, I can't, but maybe you can.
He's
if your
super
brand
rich.
Takes off very well, you know.
Yeah.
But you can buy the Mona Lisa and put it next to like other works of art.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then that makes the harmony. That's the cocktail. Right.
Sure.
You know.
I think in this
good one,
kind of like can we call it a new renaissance without me being like a huge asshole when I say that?
Well, but you already said it. So,
hey, everyone at home, just, you know, consider what you want. I think the most important part is when we taste a spirit, you know, we enjoy it. We know what it is. We understand the story, but there's no wrong way to open a bottle of booze and pour it, right?
I agree.
Thank you.
Totally. I mean, every bottle.
Well said. Yeah, I mean,
drink it. And if you want it with ice, drink that. But, you know, I can obviously encourage some other sort of situation.
I butt chug it a lot of times.
I mean, well, hey, again, that's what's up. That's what's up, my dude.
Exactly. However you get it into your body.
I mean,
As quickly as possible.
I think this is a not necessarily super robust, but it is delicate enough.
There's so much Fernet still in this bottle. This is crazy.
Pour it up.
It's definitely a drinking Fernet. It's meant to be consumed.
It's a very sessionable.
Yeah.
Can I say that about totally. A spirit?
Oh, totally. For sure. I think you might have just did you just coin it?
I think I did.
I think you might have just coined
it. Motherfuckers,
that.
I just did that.
Yeah. All right. Everyone at home,
it's
you can take
session
that.
Session Fernet.
Is this a session Fernet?
It's a session Fernet.
Like
drink
a
it by the pint.
Whoa.
Goddamn.
The preferred serving.
Did you
kind
of blew my own mind, man?
He literally just did it to us. Holy and shit. To you. He did it to you as well.
God just did to us, man.
That's actually really great. Here,
God
cheers.
Didn't do that
cheers
either.
On that. That one's yeah. like cheers. Really great.
Cheers. Absolutely.
All right, we're not okay. Sessionable is now the new funky.
But also I want to kind of like get towards wrapping this up. I mean, obviously I don't want to, but we have to. But I think that one of my favorite things about this spirit, outside of its sessionability, is the fact that it was actually made by a bartender. You know,
it's magical.
Someone who like worked in the industry, who like has a finger on the pulse and understands the mixing of flavors, and then distilling that into something that you put in a bottle and then you can give out to the world.
Understands beer, wine.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to understand all of these things.
Yeah. I'm a fermentation nerd, definitely into fermented products,
yeah.
Beer. Wine, sake. I brewed sake in Japan for a little bit.
That's awesome.
And
you lived in Japan for a year.
Yeah, I lived in Japan for a year. And
talk about your background
studies.
A little bit.
It
you
was
went
cool.
to you lived in Japan. You lived in Korea or India.
India, England.
These motherfuckers all
there's
over.
There's dudes
the
out here fucking.
Belgium, Costa Rica. yeah, I got.
That sounds like a whole other show, man. I mean, we should actually. You know what we should do is on the Heritage Radio Network. We have another show called Beer Sessions. And we should have you on that show, we can do a crossover episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can talk shop
with
Jimmy
Carbone. And like we could talk about fermentation. Cool, there's also another
I got this magic school bus that I'm using for spontaneous fermentation.
Oh, man.
It's cool. Yeah, it's cool stuff. But anyway,
literally
circling back, being in the industry and working as a bartender and tasting things and deciding what flavor profiles I wanted and creating this Fernet, and knowing that it will be blended, it will be mixed in drinks. And so I'm okay with that. Totally cool with that. Like that's the point of it. And like
that's
Thomas
the modern
saying,
side like, of like the progression of the bitters category.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, ah, man, like this is going to be awesome on its own, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it is. We're enjoying the hell out of it. But at the same time, you're like, you're not being such a stickler to say, don't mix this. You know, like that's the old school mentality.
Play with
so
it.
So dated. I hate it.
I love going around town here and going to all these really cool craft cocktail places and meeting people like you guys that have amazing palates and are super creative and giving you another tool. That's what it is. Like, here, man, throw this in your toolbox and see what you can make with this.
100%.
Absolutely.
And it's so fun to see. And everybody tastes it a little different and has a different idea. And, you know, we can put this in 100 bars in New York and we'll have 100 different cocktails. Yeah. And they're all going to be delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's really fun. It's like it's just growing this community. And, you know, it's not a pretentious drink. And, it's, you know, I'm not saying, like, put it on the shelf and don't let it touch anything else. Like, blend it, play with it, you know, shoot it after a meal, blend it with a cocktail. Like,
I know I will.
You or know, just dump it all over yourself. It just while take a you're bath on a radio interview. Yeah. Honestly, like my favorite thing about bartending and being in bars, like as a customer too, is like, it's not about, like as a bartender, you're not creating, I mean, obviously you're creating cocktails and stuff like that, but that's not what it's all about. You're not making drinks. You're creating an experience.
It's really trying to get laid.
God damn it. I thought you were asleep. no, but it's like you, like the old school mentality of old herbal liqueur distillation, mm-hmm. to where we're at now and what you're doing.
It's not your grandpa's booze anymore.
You're respecting the classics, but you're also like moving into the future, right? So like, it's all about like creating the full experience. Like you said, putting the Mona Lisa up next to like, I don't know, like Mark Maggiore or
my paintings.
Or some which of are your terrible. Paintings, Ian. You know, it's like, it's blending the whole thing together and like making, the sum is like better than all the parts together, you know? So like you're like a part of that. And that's really, it's really great. Mm-hmm. You're contributing to the whole of it.
The movement. Yeah.
Being
nice.
Part of the community, even, you know, cool. the creative artistic.
And you're also mm-hmm. like able to inspire people who are going to come around to check it out and people to come after you. So that's really cool. That's really important.
Sure. Thanks.
Guys, it's been great having you on the show today.
It's been great being here. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, Damon.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's been a pleasure.
I would welcome you anytime you'd like to come back to the studio. Come and sit down, have some more Fernet, and
totally.
We'll just continue talking shop.
In the meantime, you can find Fernet Michaud in New York City. Somewhere, I got my Lauber reps here that aren't quite sure yet.
Stay posted.
Where it's going to be, but it'll probably sell out like immediately after the show.
Basically,
so,
it'll be sold.
For the listeners out there,
it's going to be allocated.
Then you're just going to retire.
But line up at your local liquor shop and beat down the walls and tell them to carry the Fernet Michaud and have a little splash if you can get it.
You can also come to Southers Bars, as many bars. You can come to Grand Army and
Grand
try
Army,
it out.
Great place. Moria Margo.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Great. And, love it there.
Yeah. And so check it out. Like, look it up.
As long as Souther decides, you know, to answer our phone calls and carry Fernet Michaud.
He's very busy.
Souther, if you're listening,
I'm sure
I will
he's
find
super
you.
Busy. He's a really busy
he's
guy.
He's busy writing his next book on, not on his iPhone this time. Mm. He actually went and bought an old Motorola razor.
Oh my god! No way!
I thought he was going full typewriter.
And he's
fucking Souther is He's writing a new book on a razor.
Speaking of old traditions,
style points.
That must be why it's taking him so long to pick up Fernando.
He's doing T9. He's using T9 to write the whole thing. So.
Totally. So that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many other programs like this one. But also, please do go to our website and click on the beating heart to donate to the station, because that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us drinking beautiful Fernet like this with friends like mine. All right. Until next week.
Ciao, guys.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Want more of the Speakeasy? Follow us and ask questions on Instagram at Speakeasy Podcast or on Twitter at Speakeasy Radio. You can find Damon at Damon Bolte, and you can find me at Creative Drunk on all platforms. Take a moment to write us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform and give us a star rating, 5 if possible. If you're visiting New York City or a resident, stop by the studio and hang out with us during an episode. Reach out beforehand to make sure we'll be here. We'd love to see you. And please support our show by visiting heritageradionetwork.org and clicking on the beating heart to donate.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.